I feel good. And I'm also struggling with the body. The body's struggling with some other bodies. My antibodies are struggling with some other bodies. And I feel good to see your new Clouds and Water Zen Center. Congratulations. And I feel good to see the new Compassionate Ocean Zen Center. Congratulations. And I feel good to see the kind of renovated Minnesota Zen Meditation Center. Congratulations. I assume Dharma Fields is still in good condition. I haven't seen it. But it's nice to see all the centers in really good condition and providing such wonderful practice places in this land. These four Zen centers I mentioned, and of course there's Hokyoji and so on also, owe a great debt of gratitude and appreciation to Katagiri Roshi. It seems that I feel that a lot of gratitude and dedication to practice stemming from his life. And I wondered, would you like some instruction from Katagiri Roshi?
Yes.
Yes.
Hmm?
Yes.
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 Okay. May I give it to you?
Yes.
Well, for Katagiri Roshi, the gassho, the joining of the hands together, was a very important practice. Some of you might be surprised to know how important it was to him. But it really was important. And I think I'd like to show you how, sort of the way I see he made his gassho. He joined his palms quite a ways from his face, and his elbows were lifted up, and there was quite a bit of space between his forearms and his chest. And he kept doing this even when he was really sick, kept making this effort. So may I now show you the way he didn't do it? He didn't do it like this. This is sweet. Thich Nhat Hanh actually does it like this. Kind of like holds his hands sort of against his chest. And that's his way. And he also makes some space, I think, in his hands, like a lotus blossom. So that's his transmission. But part of what Zen centers can be is places to transmit a certain style of a certain teacher. And so if this is Katagiri Roshi, style, then the hands go flat together and the elbows come up. See the difference? This way takes a lot of effort. And at the San Francisco Zen Center, we also encourage people to gassho like this, and it's an ongoing maintenance project. The entropic direction is down, and the hands down, the elbows down, and then the hands down again like this, and then way down here. I'm like, okay, gassho. Gassho. So there's an opportunity for you to work on that at all the centers. And we're working at it in the San Francisco Zen Center, too. Is the statue, is this statue in somewhat female form, was that done by Rebecca Maino? Do you know who made it?
I don't know, but it was someone in California, yeah. So perhaps.
Is it supposed to be Prajnaparamita? I think maybe Rebecca Maino made it, and I think she was a member of the Berkeley Zen Center, and she also did practice periods at Tassajara. A statue of Prajnaparamita. Perfect wisdom. The goddess of perfect wisdom. So the topic for this retreat, a topic for this retreat, is perfect wisdom. And also, how that is friendship. I might say friendship and perfect wisdom, but really, I guess what I would say is, maybe suggest, there's a kind of friendship which is perfect wisdom. And there's other kinds of friendship which I don't know about. And also I don't know about the friendship which is perfect wisdom. And nobody else does either, so I don't feel bad. Matter of fact, I feel good not knowing what perfect wisdom is and not knowing what friendship is. Now a lot of people, maybe they do know what friendship is. And also they may even know what perfect wisdom is. Or rather, I should say, they're perfectly sure of what friendship is, and they're perfectly sure of what perfect wisdom is. But I don't know what friendship is, and I don't know what perfect wisdom is, and I'm not even sure that not knowing what friendship is most intimate. I'm not sure if not knowing what perfect wisdom is most intimate, but I've heard that it is. I've heard that knowing what friendship is quite, being sure of what friendship is widely manifesting. Almost everybody. Anyway, a high percentage of people are quite sure of what friendship is. And I would suggest to you that that's a kind of busyness. That's kind of, yeah. It's part of the worldly hubbub, is that people are sure of what various things are. For example, friendship and then even perfect wisdom, although they might hesitate a moment before they're perfectly sure about such a lofty phrase. I've been discussing friendship for quite a while now. Not exactly discussing what it is, but just discussing it. And some, you know, in the last few years, some teachings which I heard before came back to me more strongly. One of them was, a teaching attributed to Shakyamuni Buddha in a sutra which is called Half. You know that sutra? The Half Sutra? It's not Half Sutra, it's a whole sutra called Half. And it's not very long. You could memorize it. Matter of fact, maybe you will, soon. It's shorter than the Heart Sutra, I think. It starts out something like this. The Buddha was sitting someplace, I forgot where, and his attendant, Ananda, came to him. I think he walked around him three times and sat to one side. Joined his palms and said, "World-honored one, this what? This what? This. Here he is. Ananda and Buddha. This. Ananda and Buddha. Together. This. Friendship." That's the translation. That's one translation. Okay, you could also maybe translate it. Our friendship. You could also even say the friendship. Anyway, one translation says this friendship. The friendship between the great disciple Ananda and the Buddha Shakyamuni. This friendship. What a friendship. This friendship, teacher, is half the sacred life, half the holy life. And then maybe he said, with this friendship, one will be able to practice the Eightfold Noble Path. One will be able to practice the Buddha way. And the Buddha said, "Don't say that, Ananda. Don't say that. What's the problem? Was Ananda wrong? Apparently. Something wrong with this friendship? No. Don't say that, it's half the Buddha way. This friendship is the entirety of the Buddha way. This friendship is the entirety of the holy life." I heard that long time ago, 30 years ago, and then about 2 or 3 years ago I heard it again and it struck more deeply. Now I feel like this friendship, I don't know what it is, but this friendship is the Buddha way. One might think that this friendship is a holy life. One might think you could have some persons walking down the street living the holy life. And that's true. They can walk down the street living the holy life. But you've seen them walking down the street, like down this street here, or walk up towards University Avenue and go into the Asian market. You might think, oh, they're living the holy life. But you might not think they are practicing friendship as they're walking down the street. You know, they might have really good posture and have a nice religious or clerical clothes on, and you might say, "Oh, looks like a holy person walking down the street." Yeah, well, it is. But do you see that that's a friend walking down the street? Do you see that person's practicing friendship step by step? That's maybe, you might not see that. And actually, friendship is not something you can see. It's more subtle than that. It's perfect wisdom. Yeah, so the Buddha said, by relying on this friendship, one will be able to practice the Eightfold Path. So I'm saying, well, that was very impressive to me. And so I've been working with that, but actually playing with that too for a while. So friendship is perfect wisdom. Perfect wisdom is a great mind, but it's a great mind which is friendship. It's not one person's mind. It's not another person's mind. It's the mind which is relationship, is good friendship. In this sutra I'm quoting, I think it just said friendship, but we also have the commonly used phrase in the Buddha way, but not just the Buddha way, good friendship, or good friend, or beneficial friend. In Sanskrit, Kalyanamitra, beneficial friend, good friend, sometimes translated as spiritual friend. But kalyana doesn't really mean spiritual, it's more like beneficial or good. And that's a word that's often used for a person, like a teacher. It isn't often used as a relationship, but it really is a relationship, I say. Friendship is not something that one person has by yourself. It's something that happens when people get together and practice. And then sometimes when they get together and practice, one of the people is called a good friend. The so-called teacher is called a good friend, which can be a little confusing, I think. In the Zen tradition, we often talk about Zen teachers or Zen masters. We don't very often say Zen mistresses. That people might think we're talking about a scandal then. But we can call a female a Zen master. And people often might think, well, a Zen master is that person over there. Of that person over there. It does seem like people, that's kind of like the way people often use it, like it's a person. So I would just suggest that maybe it's more like that a Zen master is a relationship. It's something that manifests in relationship. So that sutra got me thinking about what is friendship and what is a good friend. Also, around that time, someone asked me repeatedly to tell stories about women. I was telling a lot of stories about men, and she wanted to hear some stories about women. and I think also women teachers. And I knew a place that had lots of women teachers, a scripture that had lots of women teachers in it, maybe 20 or 25 women teachers. So I went to that scripture and started reading the stories about these female bodhisattva teachers, these female Zen masters. Some of the female Zen masters were like ordained nuns, and some of them were like goddesses, and some of them were like courtesans and queens, different types of bodhisattva Zen masters. And each one of them was called Kalyanamitra, good friend. They weren't called, you know, they were called good friends over and over, good friends, good friend, beneficial friend. Each one, each of these bodhisattva teachers in the book was repeatedly called good friend. So the central function of good friends or good friendship to the path of the bodhisattva was made over and over in this scripture. The name of the scripture is Gandavyuha Sutra. It's the last scripture in the scripture, which is made of many scriptures, called the Avatamsaka Sutra. The flower adornment scripture, very, very 2,000 pages in English, the scripture, and the last book in it is called called Gandavyuha, Entry into the Realm of Reality. And that book is many stories of this young bodhisattva trying to learn what is the practice of a bodhisattva, because he wants to practice the bodhisattva way, because he met a good friend named Manjushri, and he had a really good time in that meeting, in that good friendship with the bodhisattva of perfect wisdom, Manjushri Bodhisattva. So at the beginning of the scripture, he meets this good friend, and he's totally inspired to seek and realize perfect wisdom in order to benefit all beings. When he meets Manjushri, that friendship takes over his whole body and mind and makes him into an aspirant, an aspiring bodhisattva who just wants perfect enlightenment, perfect wisdom, and so on. His name was Sudana in Sanskrit. Which means, actually, good in wealth. He was good at being wealthy. And so he had this great aspiration, and then he thought, well, if I want to seek perfect enlightenment for the welfare of all beings, then I probably need to learn that path. I need to learn how to do bodhisattva practices. So I probably should, I will need a teacher, some good friend to teach me what a bodhisattva is. Manjushri's already taught me, but I can't remember now if Manjushri said, now go and find, no, I think it was, I know what it was. He's with a good friend, and he thinks, well, I need somebody to teach me what the practice of bodhisattvas is. Now, I'm telling you before the sutra starts, the practice of bodhisattvas is good friendship. But he kind of gets it because he realizes that if he wants to learn the practice of bodhisattva, he needs to find a good friend. So the practice of bodhisattva and finding a good friend or good friendship are intimately related, linguistically somewhat different. But anyway, he realizes, I don't know how to practice the bodhisattva way. I do know I want to realize perfect wisdom in order to benefit all beings, and I know I don't know how to do that practice, and I know I need help of a good friend to teach me. And Manjushri says, it is good that you want to realize perfect enlightenment in order to help all beings. And it's good that you realize that you need to learn how to practice that. And it's good that you know that you need to find good friends to teach you. He didn't say, I'm one of them, but that's obvious that he was, and the boy knew he was. But Manjushri, instead of saying, stay with me, he said, you're right, you need to find good friends. And then he told him of a good friend to go find. He didn't say, stay with me and I'll be your good friend. He said, go see so-and-so who lives in such and such a place. He is a good friend. Or she is a good friend. I think first it was a he. I'll check. And this boy is very happy to have met Manjushri, very happy to have this aspiration, just filled with enthusiasm and joy of the meeting and the friendship he has, and also not depressed that he doesn't know how to do the practice, but just enthusiastic about learning how to practice. And Manjushri sends him off to ask this next teacher how to practice the bodhisattva way, and he leaves Manjushri, and he's full of tears of gratitude as he leaves Manjushri, looking back at him over and over as he goes away, and also full of joy, contemplating the teachings he heard from Manjushri, and joy at meeting his next teacher. And then he does that 52 times. He goes and finds the teacher. he tells the teacher that he about his aspiration, that he wants to learn, that he doesn't know what the bodhisattva path is, and that he's heard that this is a great teacher, so would you please teach me? And then the teacher teaches him. And after teaching, the teacher says that each case, they give a name to the teaching, such and such a name, and call it the liberating teaching, the liberating, actually, samadhi, the liberating concentration of such and such a teaching. And the teachings they give are amazing. But then afterwards, they kind of conclude each time, and this is my liberating concentration, such and such. And then they say, but they've just demonstrated an amazing practice, an amazing understanding. And then they say, but how would I, poor little me, amazing guru that I am, how would I know what the bodhisattva way is? And then they talk about what the bodhisattva way is. And they talk about it, and after a while you think, well, yeah, how would anybody know what the bodhisattva way is? It is so vast and so inconceivably wonderful that how would anybody know anything about it? And these teachers, each one doesn't know what it is, or not sure, or cannot comprehend it. And then therefore, since how would I know, you should go see so-and-so. So then he sends them to the next teacher. And the same thing happens. Amazing teaching, amazing person, amazing relationship, amazing friendship. And then the teacher says, but how could I know? what the Bodhisattva way is. How could I teach it? And then talk about it again. And then you go, wow, that's an amazing Bodhisattva way. But it isn't just you say it's amazing and nobody can teach it. It's more like it's amazing, nobody can teach it, and I'm going to go meet another teacher. And ask another teacher about this thing that the next teacher won't be able to teach me, and yet the teaching will happen in this relationship, in this friendship, in this perfect wisdom. And this sutra of going to visit all these teachers, it seems you do not hear, I do not hear many Chinese Zen masters referring to the scripture. I do not hear many Japanese and Korean Zen masters referring to the scriptures. But the life of the classical life of a Zen monk is just like the scripture. And this scripture, although they don't mention it all the time, you can see that it's very influential on the Zen style of practice, of going to visit a teacher who doesn't know how they could teach you, and therefore they're a great teacher, who's not sure of what a teacher is, and therefore they are a great teacher. And other great teachers refer you to this teacher, other great teachers who are not so sure about what a teacher is or what a student is, send you to this teacher who's one of their friends who also is not so sure and wonders how they could possibly teach the Bodhisattva way. Friendship, perfect wisdom. To the extent that friendship is a word, to the extent that friendship is a word, it is perfect wisdom. To the extent that perfect wisdom is a word, it is perfect wisdom. Now everybody knows that to extent a word is a word, it is perfect wisdom. You all know that, right? Right? No? No. Well, that's what I'm here to tell you. To the extent that a word is a word, I could say just, but I'm not going to say just. You'll see why, maybe. To the extent that a word, it is perfect wisdom. People often think that a word is not just a word. It's about something. But it's not. It's a word. A word's a word. People think friendship, well, they know it's a word, but they think it's more than a word. They think the word friendship is about friendship. Well, it refers to friendship, but that word friendship has no objective basis in a thing friendship. If you can let the word friendship, or you can let friendship be a word and nothing more, if you can be like that with friendship, then that's perfect wisdom. To the extent that friendship is a word, it is perfect wisdom. If it's a little bit a word, but also a little bit not a word, like you got the word friendship and then there's another thing called friendship lurking in the neighborhood, then you're sort of like halfway to perfect wisdom. But if you say the word friendship and that's a word, which it is, and you think of friendship, which is a word, and that's what it is, if you can do that completely, then that's completely perfect wisdom. Oh, well, how about perfect wisdom? The same. Some people think, well, there's the word perfect wisdom, and then there's another perfect wisdom, which is the real perfect wisdom, which the word perfect wisdom refers to. Now, a word is just a word, but perfect wisdom is not just perfect wisdom. It's like pretty good stuff, because perfect wisdom liberates all beings from suffering and so on, whereas words don't do that. Well, it's true, words don't do that, but to the extent that a word is just a word, it liberates all beings. To the extent that friendship is a word, if friendship is totally a word for you, then that extensiveness is perfect wisdom, which performs the miracle we're wishing for, the miracle of enlightenment for the welfare of all beings. Nobody knows what the perfect wisdom is. Even the people who let perfect wisdom be totally a word, they don't know either. However, they realize it in that relationship. And we need, and yeah, in that relationship, in that friendship. I saw a movie once, actually I might have seen it once and a half, I'm not sure, but I saw it at least once all the way through, and it's a movie called The Miracle Worker, and it's about the life of Ann Sullivan and Helen Keller. So Ann Sullivan was a good friend, or rather Ann Sullivan and Helen Keller had a good friendship. I don't know what it was, but I say they had a good friendship, even though I don't know what good friendship is. That's the kind of guy I am, as I talk like that. And in that friendship, sort of at the climax of the movie, Helen and Anne are working together and with some water. And Helen's touching the water. And it's at a certain point in that friendship, I don't know what it is, but in that friendship at a certain point, Anne says to Helen, the meaning of this is water. The meaning of this, she's got her hand in this stuff. She has her hand in the stuff, and the stuff has her hand. This relationship between her hand and this water, this relationship. She says, the meaning of this relationship is water. And then she said, the meaning of water is this. And I thought, I half agree with Ann Sullivan. Or I half agree with this portrayal of Ann Sullivan. I half agree with that teaching. I agree that the meaning of this is a word. But I don't agree that the meaning of the word is this. For example, Ananda and the Buddha are together practicing, and someone could say, come up to them and say, before Ananda talks, somebody could come up and say, the meaning of this is friendship. But it's not that the meaning of friendship is this. The meaning of friendship, the meaning of this is friendship. The meaning of this is a word. But the meaning of the word is not this. The meaning of the word is other words. This doesn't actually come with meaning. This is free of our need or preference or addiction to meaning. This, what's this? I don't know. If you want to know what I mean, I'll give you a word. You want to know what I'm talking about, what I mean? Friendship. Okay, now you know what I mean. Now you have a meaning of this. Which this is it? Well, it's the friendship this. But the friendship is the sacred life, is the holy life. It's not the word. The meaning of it is the word. But the meaning of the word is not this. This is much more than the meaning of a... Friendship is much more than the meaning of the word friendship. The meaning of the word friendship is not the totality of friendship. The totality of friendship... well, if you excuse the intense image, it would explode the word. The meaning of friendship, the meaning of this thing that we call friendship is the word friendship. To the extent that friendship is just a word, to the extent that you can be with words like that, to the extent that you can open to words like that, you can open to the inconceivable wonder of friendship, which is the inconceivable wonder of the Buddha way. But then with the Buddha way, same thing. To the extent that the Buddha way is a word, rather than, I got a word Buddha way, but then there's another Buddha way, right? I got a gassho here, and there's another gassho. No, all I've got is this gassho, or joined palms. That's all I've got. To the extent that that's all I've got, this gassho is perfect wisdom. To the extent that I'm, well, I got the gassho word, and then there's another gassho, the real gassho. That's not just the word gassho. Or I got the form gassho, and then there's a real gassho. Or without the word? No. Yes. The same applies to a few other things like Zen student, Buddha. To the extent that Zen student is just a word, it is perfect wisdom. To the extent that the Buddha way is a word, it is perfect wisdom. To the extent that Christianity is a word, it is perfect wisdom. So we have other many teachers of this bodhisattva way, many teachers of this perfect wisdom. We have, which I'll probably talk about, maybe, but even just in case I don't, I'll talk about them now. Avalokiteshvara teaches perfect wisdom in the Heart Sutra. And we also have Avalokiteshvara in the form of Bodhidharma, who teaches perfect wisdom. Now, you're not surprised to hear that Avalokiteshvara teaches perfect wisdom, are you? Because you every day you say Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva is practicing perfect wisdom, and then he teaches it, right? the Shariputra. So we know, sure, Avalokiteshvara teaches perfect wisdom, and you're not surprised if somebody says, Bodhidharma teaches perfect wisdom, right? The founder of the Zen school, of course he teaches perfect wisdom. And then we also have another little tip, which is Bodhidharma is Avalokiteshvara. You know that? Heard about that? Hmm? Yeah, well, now you've heard. There's a rumor which we're spreading. Bodhidharma, the founder of the Zen school, is Avalokiteshvara. In the form of an Indian monk coming to China to transmit the Buddha mind seal, transmit good friendship. And the guy who's transmitting it is Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva. And this guy knows that he does not know. And his not knowing is out there for us. He's transmitting the Buddha mind seal, and he doesn't know what he's transmitting or who he is. And this is a good friend. He's happy to be doing the work of transmitting perfect wisdom and transmitting good friendship. And he doesn't know who he is or what good friendship is or perfect wisdom is. He's not really that sure. And he is the transmitter of it. Now those who are not transmitting it, they can be sure. They can have that, what do you call it? What's the word? Luxury. The luxury of being sure of what friendship is. I know what friendship is. The luxury of children. I know what my mommy is. I know who my mommy is. I know who my mommy is, and I know she's my mommy. But this child is not yet ready and not required to be ready to transmit the Buddha mind seal, so they can have the luxury of childhood of knowing who their mommy is and knowing that their mommy is their mommy, not anybody else's, not even their brother and sisters. And this is totally adorable that they're not yet accepting the responsibility of being Bodhidharma. Now, to the children's parents and grandparents, they are Bodhidharma, but they are not accepting responsibility for it. They're trying to learn words, and with words they're learning the meaning of their life, but they're not yet ready for the words, for the meaning of the words. They're not ready for the teaching that the meaning of the words is not their life. The meaning of words is not your life. The meaning of words is just other words. They're not yet ready for mommy to be just a word. So we practice loving kindness and compassion towards them, and they mature, and then at a certain point they can receive this teaching of friendship and perfect wisdom. So I have plenty of stories to last for the next few days, but so I probably don't need to tell them all today, assuming that we make it to tomorrow. And there are stories about friendship. There are stories about perfect wisdom. There are stories about both of them, and there's stories about how I'm not, there's stories about which I'm not completely sure of what they are. There's stories about not being completely sure, which is stories about the way we need to be in order to have the kind of friendship which is necessary for perfect wisdom. Or there are stories about a not being completely sure, which a way we need to be in order to be friends in a way that's perfect wisdom. Okay? Be friends in a way that's perfect wisdom. Practice perfect wisdom in a way that's friendship. It's not like I'm practicing perfect wisdom. When I practice perfect wisdom, it's a friendship that I'm not completely sure about. But I have to be really wholehearted about that in order to realize it. I have to be wholehearted about not being sure. Like, just be pretty much completely not sure. And also not sure if I'm really completely not sure. The other night at the Minnesota Zen Center, a young man came up to me and said, "How do you know when you're enlightened?" Were you there when he asked that? It wasn't during the talk. During the talk, he said, "What about these different levels of enlightenment? There are different levels of enlightenment, aren't there?" I said, "Yeah." And all the different levels of enlightenment, I said, are intimate with Buddhahood. The low levels of enlightenment are intimate with Buddhahood, intermediate and so on. Buddhahood is not one of the levels of enlightenment. Buddhahood is the friendship of all the different levels. And also, if you want to have from below or above or next to the levels of enlightenment, there's levels of delusion. Buddha is intimate with all the levels of delusion. You got a level of delusion, Buddha is friends with that. And I don't know what friendship that is. But he said, how do you know you're enlightened? And I said, when you're enlightened, you're not worried about that anymore. That's part of the benefit package of enlightenment, is you're not worried about knowing that you're enlightened. You're also not worried about enlightenment. That's not your agenda anymore. Your agenda is enlightenment. Do you want to be enlightened or no? Can I have both? You actually can have both. It's okay. You can be enlightened and know it. It's all right. Also, you can be a bodhisattva and know it. It's okay. But not necessary. It's necessary to be a bodhisattva. That's necessary. Until that's realized, we're suffering. It's necessary to be Buddha, but it's not necessary to know it. But you can if it's helpful. And once in a while, it might be helpful. Like, who are you? Buddha. Oh, hi, how are you? It's time to stop, and so we could. Shall we? Should we stop? Wouldn't it, at the time of stopping? It's up to you. Or we can go on.
Go on.
It's a free country. It's a free Zen center. Is there anything you want to bring up? Yes.
Roshi, you said to the extent that friendship is just a word, wisdom.
Yeah, maybe take away the just. Because the word just doesn't have much extent on it. It's kind of pointed. So maybe just to the extent that friendship is a word, so it could be a little bit. If it's a little bit of a word, then it's a little bit of perfect wisdom. If it's a lot of a word, it's a lot of perfect wisdom. And, and if it's completely or just a word, then it is just perfect wisdom. So I think the I'm quoting the I'm quoting the Astasastrika Prajnaparamita Sutra, and that it doesn't say just. It says to the extent that it's a word, to that extent it's perfect wisdom. So, but I probably did say just. But I think it's better to take the just out. Or if you do, if I put the just in, then I would say, to the extent that friendship is just a word, it is just perfect wisdom. I did say that, something like that. And it was kind of a quote.
So I'd like to ask if there's anyone here who has some confidence they understand that sentence. If you do, please raise your hand.
Did you say confidence?
Yes. Some sense of clarity. Is there anyone? Please don't be shy. Okay. I'd like someone other than Roshi to rephrase what this point is, because I don't understand it yet.
So can I say something?
Please.
Understanding, my understanding and my confidence in it includes that I'm not perfectly sure. And matter of fact, it needs to include that I'm not perfectly sure. And I have more confidence, but I'm not perfectly sure. I have that kind of understanding of what I said. That I heard the sutra, it struck me, I thought it was totally cool, and I'm not completely sure what it is, so I bring all the stuff that I'm not completely sure about to you, and I have confidence in that gift, but it's not that I am sure. That's the kind of... But still, I wanted to add that in, and you can still ask other people if they have that confidence in their not being sure of what I said. And then rephrase it. Don't do it the way I did it. Well, or you rephrase it.
No, I'm not. I can't rephrase
You can't even that. Rephrase it.
Rephrase which? Your
rephrase what I said to demonstrate their understanding, right? That's what you asked, wasn't it?
Yes.
And I said you could rephrase it, but you can't even do that. Is that what you're saying?
Correct.
Okay. That was your rephrasing. That was yours. Somebody could copy him, and then that could be, it wouldn't be rephrasing what he said, but it would be a rephrasing if you copied what he said. It would be copying a rephrasing. And the rephrasing was, I can't do that. But what's help him out? Help him out in this friendship he's exploring.
Well, I would say in the moment of experiencing the word friendship, it is complete. And when we add an extra meaning outside of this moment of experiencing the word friendship, it is not complete. But I don't know if that's where you were going with that.
Did that help you at all?
No.
Too bad. Not really too bad, just that. Well, that's for you.
I would suggest the word and the experience may be completely non-overlapping, except for when you stop experiencing and start thinking about the word.
Did I help you?
Is that your point? Will you accept that?
That they're not overlapping?
That's the point.
I would say, is that my point? No, it's his point.
Yes, and how does that reflect on your expression of this teaching?
The meaning of what he just said? Is a word.
What do you mean by word?
Well, I can use his words, whatever his words were, and to the extent that his words are words, that's practicing perfect wisdom. And that's good friendship. If he gives words that way, and if I'm giving words that way, that this is friendship, to talk that way, to interact with people without getting distracted from the, what is it, the insecurity and uncertainty of our relationship.
What way can a word not be just a word?
When I think that the word refers to something, that's not the word, then I dream up that way that it's not. Only by imagination can it be. I can only imagine that a word's more than a word. Still a word, which is not something more than a word, can give meaning to this. So a word which is not more than a word can serve a function in our life of giving meaning to things which without words will not have meaning. And we like meaning, and we know where to get it. And so we to use the right word, we learn to use the right word that gives meaning by using it in relationship to other words. Not by using it in relationship to something other than words. But people imagine what we're giving meaning to is something in addition to the word. And that imagination creates this, in a sense, along with the meaning, we get some sureness. And all that goes along with just being busy and missing our life or being half human or not fully human, because fully human means that you realize the meaning of this is a word and then you stop there, and then, or you can take one more step and just say, to the extent that this word which gave meaning is just a word, I'm where I should be. But to the extent that I think that the word's more than a word, after it served its function to give me meaning, then I'm moving away from perfect wisdom. I'm moving away from friendship with you and with words. Friendship with words, you're not sure what they mean. You're not sure what they are.
So even though we have the repeated experience of using words to give experience meaning, which creates these kind of habits, so I have a habit of my experience of seeing Michael, I use the, so that the word that I use for that experience is Michael. So I have that habit. So of course that, like.
Oh, you said the word I use for the experience, that's the incorrect use of the word of words. The word that you use to have meaning for the experience.
Okay.
Then you get confused and think, oh, that word is for Michael, but it's not for Michael. It's for you, to give you meaning in relationship to Michael. But to be with Michael, and you, that's okay, but then to take another step and be with Michael and remember, to the extent that that is just a word, then you're like opening up to Michael. But you don't know who that Michael is. And that's okay, maybe, because you got a little meaning to, you know, hold on to, which is Michael. But Michael is not a, the word is not about him. It's about you. It's about me getting meaning in relationship to my friends. So I do love my friends, but I'd rather not be with them with no meaning, so I give them all names. And then I've got some meaning with my friendship. Okay, okay. Now let's point out that to the extent that this word is just a word, rather than it's about Michael or about Mark, now I'm starting to open up to the realm of not being completely sure of what Mark, Michael, and words are, or what life is, or what friendship is, or what perfect wisdom is. If you're sure of what perfect wisdom is, you're closing down on it. And it's not about closing down on anything.
So in some ways it's actually even using the meaning that you impute as the trigger to remember to not.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Say it again. Use the...
You use the meaning that you impute to the word.
The
meaning that you impute to the experience.
Yeah.
By using a word, you actually use that as the trigger to remember that you can, if you just open up, that actual experience is the opening to actually experiencing it.
Yeah, you could use it that way. You could train yourself. Every time you get a meaning through a word, check to see if you're kind of like completely sure of what the word gave you meaning about, that you thought it actually was about that and that that was what it was. Check that out. Look at that. Study that. And then there you are. You're doing it. You're working on perfect wisdom then. And then try to be more consistent.
And when I'm grasping at meaning.
Yeah, we're grasping at meaning, or we use meaning to grasp things. Like friendship, you can't grasp it, so you got the word meaning and then you can grasp it.
It gets in the way.
Pardon?
It gets in the way.
What gets in the way?
Grasping.
Grasping gets in the way, yeah. And without meaning, it's pretty hard for us to grasp. We don't know where to grasp, but we're addicted to being able to grasp and meaning. And that grasping to meaning, that addiction to meaning, gets in the way. But we're not gonna try to get rid of it. Like Mark said, you can use it as a signal to start meditating on perfect wisdom or on friendship. Like, what is going on now? What is this friendship? What is this? What's meaning? To the extent that meaning is just a word, you're back on the job. To the extent that meaning is just a word, to that extent, you're back on the job. So you use meaning to get words and grasp, and to the extent that the thing you use to get meaning is just a word, to that extent, you're opening to real friendship, to real wisdom. And we can do it partially. Like, I feel like everybody here is a little bit letting words be words now. And just a little bit of perfect wisdom. If you're kind of like, well, I can say, okay, 10% words are words. Well, then 10% wisdom. 100% they're just words. You've got nothing to hold on to. They're just a word. Just word. And there can be meaning there too. That's okay. It doesn't eliminate the meaning. It's just that And so you let go of the word then, and you let go of the meaning, and you open to perfect wisdom. But we have to train to get to 100% in order to get to 100% wisdom. Yes.
So how to put this? So it seems experiencing this.
Experiencing this.
Right this moment.
Right this moment.
Is a type of friendship.
It is friendship.
Letting it be.
This experience is friendship.
Just without saying anything.
You can say something, but...
it's not necessary.
Our actual experience is friendship.
Mm-hmm.
Buddha and Ananda, their relationship's the same as our relationship. The same relationship from beginningless time. We're always in this relationship, this friendship. It's just that even Buddhas are not sure of what it is. That's all. And that's why I broke up the statement of this, but even this is going too far. So he's coming up there. The Buddha and the attendant are experiencing their relationship. And then Ananda says this. Now Buddha could have said right at that moment, don't say that, Ananda. When you say this, you're missing the point. He could have said it. But he let him keep talking, this. And then he said friendship. And he didn't stop him then too. And then he went to said, friend, this is half. And then he said, that's enough. So we can talk, and we get meaning sometimes, not always, but we can get meaning when we talk. But are you in a state of wonder and insecurity and not being completely sure while you're talking? Can you use words and have meaning come forth with them and still not be sure of what's going on? You can. You can learn that. You can be that way. And I was at one of Mark's classes last night, and kids were thinking, well, yeah, but what about, and really, like, romantic relationships or things like that. Can you practice it then? Yes, you can. And the more you practice them that way, the more wisdom and the more peace and ease there are in relationships. But I'm not saying it's... A lot of people do not have a hard time being really sure and confident about what friendship is. Most people do not have a hard time with that. This friendship is not, this friendship is not that easy, because this friendship involves some uncertainty about who's who, what's what, who's helping who, who's the teacher, who's the student, more or less sense of I don't know who the teacher is on the part of the so-called student and on the part of the whole so-called teacher. That's not that easy for the teacher not to be perfectly sure that they're the teacher, and vice versa. It is possible, but it's not that easy. And then to be consistent and to be total about that, that requires training. And that's this great opportunity. But we're not talking about stopping talking or trying to eliminate meaning. We're just talking about remembering. Where meaning comes from is words. Our life is free of meaning. Our friendship is free of meaning. It's also free of meaninglessness. It's inconceivably wonderful. But we use words and get meaning out of it. And it doesn't stop us from mining it for meaning. And our life then also says, okay, now that you got meaning, how about considering not being completely sure about what that meaning is? And we say, well, why would I do that? Well, that's perfect wisdom. Okay, I'll think about it. Yes?
It's being very intimate.
Yeah, exactly. That was another thing I'll talk about. This is about being very intimate. Mm-hmm. This is about a friendship that's intimate, not a friendship where I'm friends with you and I know what it means. The meaning I have for it is what it is. I do have a meaning because they got a word friendship. So I'm your friend, you're my friend, so I got meaning. I got meaning. Okay? But when I'm in intimacy, I don't really know. Even though I've got meaning, I'm not so sure. Do you sometimes chant the precious Mir Samadhi here? Jewel Mir Samadhi? So at the Minnesota Zen Center, I talked night before last. The teaching of suchness is intimately entrusted by Buddhas and ancestors. What Buddhas and ancestors are about is they're transmitting this teaching. And they transmit it or entrust it intimately. It's an intimacy or friendship that the teaching is transmitted. What Buddhas are about is transmitting teaching, and they transmit it through intimacy, through friendship, which is they transmit it through perfect wisdom. They transmit it through not being perfectly sure about what the transmission is. And they're totally devoted to the transmission, and they're not perfectly sure about what it is. And people who are sure are very busy Zen masters. And maybe quite popular too. But there's another kind of Zen master who's not sure of what a Zen master is or what intimacy is, and that not sureness comes with intimacy and also brings us to intimacy. From intimacy, we're not sure. I'm not completely sure anymore. Anyway, from intimacy that comes, and intimacy supports that, and through practicing that, we enter intimacy. So intimacy, friendship, perfect wisdom, the work of Buddhas. So thank you very much for
may our intention equally pervade every being and place with the true merit of Buddha's way.
Beings are blessed. I vow to free them. Delusions are inexhaustible.
Surpassable, I vow to realize it.
Mm-hmm.